RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday edition. I mean, Monday edition.
It could be.
It could be Wednesday of the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Val and
Beans. I didn't get any sleep last night, Frank, like literally hardly any. And I was like, oh, I have another hour and a half before the podcast. And I did a lot of prep while I was up last night. So I'm like, I'm just going to take a cat nap. And I woke up at exactly 9:59.
Ah, what were you working on last night other than the prep for today?
I was working on not being in an excruciating pain.
Ah, so yeah. Yoga?
Lots of yoga. The downward dog.
Yoga and ETF tapping.
And a lot of like... you know, like stim machine on your back with like the vibro that it jacked. Now I don't have that anymore. It's gone. Well, no, it's bad. You know, it's just, it's honestly 3 full weeks of rain every single day.
And that triggers arthritis in you?
Yeah, it triggers a lot of things. It's just, and also like 8 weeks of, actually more than 8 weeks now, like 3.5-4 months just of nonstop stress. You know, like everybody's had it. Everybody. Oh,
listen, it's manifested with me over the weekend too, because and I say that now because when I was in the middle of it, I didn't know if it was stress or something I ate, but I wasn't eating anything exotic. So I had just the food had just arrived on Saturday night, and Lauren and I were having a good time. It's me and her and the baby, and the food shows up. And we're just relaxing, and I take 2 bites into chicken scarp. It's really, like I said, nothing exotic. All of a sudden, I just go to just run my finger over my left eyebrow, and I feel this really dense hive. And I go, well, that's weird. And then I run my hand down to my cheek. I feel another hive.
Oh, my gosh.
What the hell's going on? I run to the bathroom just to see what the hell's going on here. My entire head and face and neck and upper chest were breaking out in hives.
I
told Lauren, I said, listen, I don't know what this is all about, but I'm just going to sit around for a couple of minutes and see if my tongue starts tingling. The second I start feeling anything like that happening, I'm going to the emergency room, even though I hate the idea of doing it, but I don't know what the hell's going on. And then, so I wash my face, some nice cold water, and I just relax for a little bit. And in 10 minutes, everything's gone.
Wow.
And
I'm
just saying, I say it's like, it's nothing environmental that I can tell, because nothing has changed, nothing new, nothing subtracted even. It just has to be stress that we are all carrying around with us, that we've become so used to the weight, we don't even know it's there anymore. But it still manifests.
Yes, we have become very used to the weight of it. And it has been constant. And so when your body is in just this constant state of anguish and stress, things happen. Things happen. Like I could picture in my head with you, just like Will Smith going with what's her name to get like the Benadryl from.
Oh, yeah. No, I thought it might be like that. I said, this is weird. I said, Laura, look at this. She goes, what? You know, because everybody gets a hive from time to time.
Yeah.
But it was odd. So, yeah, it's all manifesting. All manifesting.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, you got to just get through it. I tried to like take it easy this weekend, but it never happens, you know. I'm always like, oh, I have time to get caught up on this or time to get caught up on that. And I didn't get any sleep. So I did my show stuff last night so I could get a little extra shut eye today. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, we're going to obviously talk about impeachment. That's obvious. However, let's do that first. So, did you see what happened on Saturday, what the left did, what the Democrats did, and then switched up?
What in particular?
So they all of a sudden decided they wanted to call witnesses in the impeachment. And they vote because they wanted to call somebody in the Senate or the Congress, I think, who got a message from Kevin McCarthy, something about the something about the you know, riot or whatever you want to call what happened there. And they decided they were going to vote to call witnesses. And then as soon as they did that, the Trump's defense had a list of 301 witnesses that they were going to call. And all of a sudden, before we knew it, they reversed course. And then they instead admitted a statement from her instead of bringing her up to testify.
Yeah, because, you know, it's one thing to just to dig up any old loser that's willing to say anything, like the cast of clowns that they rolled out there for the 2019 impeachment. And that's the entire thing has been. There's so why sacrifice that kind of time for something, you know, is all nonsense, complete nonsense. And
during the break, by the way, Frank, so Ted Cruz comes out during the break and they have him on here. Let's just listen to what he says.
Speaker Pelosi can testify as to when she knew about the threats on the Capitol, what she knew specifically. And in particular, she can testify. We heard already that the House Sergeant at Arms turned down National Guard protection for the Capitol on January 6th because of, quote, the optics. And I think Speaker Pelosi can testify as to whether she made a decision based on optics, based on politics, not to have additional protection at the Capitol to prevent the terrorist attack that played out. My view remains we don't need witnesses, but I think if the Democrats want to open this Pandora's box, I don't think it's going to work out well for them.
Basically, through that meandering mess, which I'm going to write down the timestamp for, Ted Cruz threatened them and said, you want to call witnesses? Well, then they're going to call Nancy Pelosi and stick her up on the stand.
That would be wonderful to see her try to, and just knowing that every word then carries weight. But then again,
wouldn't it matter?
No, it wouldn't. It just wouldn't matter, Tracy. I understand. It was wonderful to see these losers lose again. But even seeing the ridiculous remarks from Richard Burr.
What did he say? I didn't even see what he said. I know what McConnell said.
Hold on a second. Here's Richard Burr, as reported on by the Gateway Pundit. Burr, who split from the Republican voters and sided with Democrats, released a statement following his vote that contained an admission that he believes he violated the Constitution. Quote, when this process started, I believed it was unconstitutional to impeach a president who was no longer in office. He believed. I don't give a shit what you believe, Richard. I still believe that to be the case. However, everything from however on is nonsense. You've already said everything that needs to be said, you dumb, pale-faced idiot. However, the Senate is an institution based on precedent. Nope. Whatever the hell that means, no. And given that the majority in the Senate voted to proceed with this trial, the question of constitutionality is now established precedent.
Oh, shoot.
Pretty much anything the Congress does is now constitutional. That's it. I mean, this is why I'm saying, and this is coming from a supposed Republican, even though we've been watching this Senate intelligence creep the entire time during Russia doing his little song and dance. But this is just the reality of it, Tracy. So it's not enough to say, ha ha, we dunked on them. You lost again. They don't care. They're like the punching bag, the clown punching bags that keep popping back up. You can hit them all day long. They're like cartoons. It doesn't matter how big the pan you swat them with is.
Well, that's not necessarily always true.
Okay.
The Trump curse has reared its ugly head once again, Frank.
On the Lincoln Project?
On the Lincoln Project and Governor Cuomo.
Oh, yes. I hope that guy goes to jail for the rest of his life.
See, it's easy to overlook these little, small karmic victories.
Yeah.
It really is, in the grand scheme of what we deal with. It's easy to overlook these small, little karmic victories. But the Lincoln Project took down their donation page. They are completely defunct and completely screwed. I mean,
good.
They are just, there's outsider, like, investigations. Forget the fact that Rick Wilson was discovered to have Confederate, you know, memorabilia all over the place, and that was fine when the Democrats needed him. Forget all that.
He'll be. What the hell is that?
He sits crazy today.
Something just fell on me. Oh no, it wasn't. It was the wires from my headphones fell on my lap, and I thought it was an animal. So I jumped away. That's what that jumping was. Okay, so but yeah, maybe Don Lemon will hire Rick Wilson as his little circus clown.
I don't know what's going on, and I gotta say, I really feel like turmoil for the Conway family.
They're to hell. They're the new Osbournes.
I know, but I feel so bad for their daughter. She's obviously affected by this crazy. I don't know what goes on in their house, but she's affected by it.
Yeah.
She's gone insane. And there was this whole big thing just a few weeks ago where apparently Kellyanne Conway accidentally tweeted a picture of her daughter naked.
I heard something about that.
I saw
a headline, and I said, "Oh God, more Conway nonsense." I just kept moving.
I mean, there's no way that a family that is that opposed, like your wife, worked for the Trump administration at a very high level for years. You are supposedly an anti-Trump like sycophant who absolutely hates everything the president stands for, and you're very public about it. So now you've got. You're disrespecting your wife in public because you can't even keep your mouth shut long enough to allow her to do her job that puts food on your table. You then join the Lincoln Project or start it or whatever, all the while your daughter is a liberal who, like, I mean, it is just a recipe for disaster in that family.
I don't know why she stuck around. And not because Kellyanne did not give us a sufficient amount of mic drop moments with the media. She ran wonderful circles around them.
She also likes to leak, from what I hear.
But just George Conway's presence alone, I just don't understand. I mean, obviously you don't take it out. You don't take it out on her for being married to an ass.
The utter lack of disrespect for her that he showed. Right?
Yeah.
If Lauren worked for someone that you hated, but she really loved her job and what she was doing, would you go out and publicly bash her boss on a consistent basis?
No, I'm not going to make her job even worse.
Yeah.
Or harder than it has to be. I mean, everybody has an opinion, but you have to. And that's the other thing, Tracy. I'm saying, do these people really just have that little consideration for each other, or is you know, she working, she pulling a fast one on Trump? And so
I wouldn't be surprised if it was the second one right there, honestly.
I just don't even know. It's almost like she was like the ultimate troll. I'm gonna go on in there, I'm gonna keep a straight face. It's like she was Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis was her husband. You know, she's gonna play it straight, but her husband's just going to be this ridiculous screaming character giving the Drudge Report something to report on every day.
That whole thing was crazy. But I mean, so the Lincoln Project falls to their fiery demise. I mean, who knows if they'll be back, but they've got tens and tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars from the left to attack conservatives. And they're going out to form their own little party now, apparently, the supposed centrist Republicans.
Oh, good. Get out.
Yeah, they're going to because we kicked them out.
That's only going to take away votes from the Democrat Party.
Exactly.
It's only going to take away votes from the Democrat Party. Democrats are looking for centrist, moderate places to go. They're being led around by Silicon Valley Bolsheviks.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
And you know, in addition to that, like, we literally, we've so sufficiently changed the Republican Party that they can't stay. There's no pathway for them here. They have to leave. Think about that. We have so sufficiently changed the Republican Party just by sheer numbers and sentiment that they can't even stay in it anymore. So now imagine what happens when we put Friday into practice. By the way, dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of emails came in about Friday's show. People love it. They're so excited.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad because I'm really glad because I know that there's so many people out there who are looking for something to do. There's always going to be a lot of people that they don't think they have time to do anything sometimes the best thing that people can do is just take it upon themselves to make sure that they are more of an informed voter than ever before. But I know that there are hundreds of thousands of people out there who are wondering how they can actually apply themselves in really meaningful ways. And Dan really, really plotted that out.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. And, you know, then Governor Cuomo, oh my gosh. I don't know who leaked this, Frank, but did you see what happened to him?
What?
So we couldn't talk about this on Friday, but one of his aides, I guess, was on the phone with Democrat leaders trying to apologize and say, we're so sorry we put you in the position of having to defend this whole nursing home thing. But we had to hide all this data because we were under federal investigation and we didn't want them to see it.
I did see this. I didn't listen to the actual thing, but I read the transcript. And wasn't there also comments about how pretty much they didn't want the Trump administration to be able to politicize their mistakes?
Yes. Yes. And I can't believe they actually said this out loud. Like, she actually said that. And even the Democrats on the call were like, I don't really have any sympathy for these answers at all. Like, do you care what you're saying, in essence? Like, you're basically admitting that you killed people, then you covered it up with... And nobody wants to support... Cuomo's in some deep... He thought this would just go away, but it didn't. It never went away because of the Janice Deans of the world out there and others who... would not leave it alone that he ordered sick COVID patients into nursing homes where they spread the virus to the most fragile in our community, and they all died.
Yeah, and I think that when you go on into the classification of what he ordered into these nursing homes, the fact that they covered the gamut of confirmed cases and also suspected cases, like you would think that – even a suspected case of something that might hurt somebody would be a hard stop on for any kind of a policymaker who cares about the lives of people they're supposedly supposed to be protecting. But the fact that suspected cases of a disease that can wipe out an entire nursing home wasn't enough to stop the importation of these people, of these residents, that wasn't enough. They actually allowed confirmed cases. And then once that order started getting around back last March, the media just started lying about it even existing.
Yeah.
And this is why I said, when you read this stuff that came out on Friday and was circulating late last week about Governor Cuomo, and you see the Gina Carano story with Lucasfilm and talking about persecution and censorship and the really disturbing historical patterns we see being expressed in the current powers that be in media and everything else and government. She's expressing something there. Everybody, she gets canceled for bringing attention to the same type of thing, the same system that is protecting Cuomo, protecting him. I mean, that's what people should be talking about. It's being expressed everywhere. They're protecting this guy. They gave him a daytime Emmy and they put away and they buried him. I know.
And then not only did they bury, but the people couldn't even go to the funerals.
Yep.
And then they hide all the information. This guy's a criminal. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting. By the way, guess what's up and running as of right now?
What?
Parler.
Really?
Parler, I just logged in. You can't really do much yet. You can write a parlay, but your account's still back up, and looks like Parler is back up in a very limited fashion right now. So good for
Tremendous.
Them. Good for them. I like more platforms. Let me get Parler. I have 150,000 people on Parler. So good for them.
Tremendous.
Yeah. You know what else I was thinking about before we get into President Trump's impeachment attorney? Because we kind of got off track here.
What?
Well, number one, really quickly, to just kind of close the door on that last topic, the Trump DOJ was investigating this, which is something that we never expected to hear, that they would actually investigate a liberal governor. Oh, my gosh. What are the chances, right? And the fact that they were investigating it behind the scenes gives me a little bit of confidence, or not confidence, a little bit of a hope that maybe they weren't as bad as we thought they were. Because I didn't even think for a second that that would be something the DOJ would look into. Now, did that ever cross your mind that the DOJ was going to investigate Cuomo?
No.
So, I mean, I know, obviously, just like they dropped the investigation, they're dropping investigations all over. I can't remember who it is they just dropped the investigation into that was really important. But they were, the DOJ, the Trump DOJ was actually looking into what Cuomo did in New York. But I wanted to talk about real quick how freeing it has been to be kicked off of Twitter.
I have found a couple of things to be, obviously I haven't been kicked off yet. I have this weird survivor's guilt. So what I'm doing is I'm just posting whatever I post on Twitter. I usually post what I really want to say on Gab or something like that. But I figure while it's around, but I understand what you mean. It's once that rug gets taken out from under you, and it's, I don't know. I feel like, okay, well, let's clean my room and let's make a new plan. And it feels good to know that all the places that we're whittling down to are places we can rely on always being there.
Yes. Yes. And with CloudHub and their new video platform, their self-made video platform, that's awesome. Because they had IBM, and it kind of screwed people over a little bit when IBM decided to mess things up for everyone on CloudHub, but then they came back with their own, which is a huge investment, which they made. So that's great. But it's cool because look at what they've done in essence, right? They've taken all of us who had, like, I always, when I tweeted something, had to be very, very careful how I said it, what it was, how it was phrased, who was going to see it, you know, like, and that was just to preserve myself, right? Mm. Now they've kicked us all off to places where they have absolutely zero control. They should have let us all stay on Twitter because they had a lot more control over us, what kind of information was able to go viral and everything else. Now we're on all these other platforms where they can't do anything about how viral something that I put on Gab goes, or how viral something that I put on CloudHub goes, or like whatever. And so it's just like I can say whatever the hell I want and not have to worry about the Twitter overlords. It's just this amazing freeing feeling that I have. And not only that, but as these platforms have kind of tried to weather the growth that they've experienced, I've kind of, you know, we've been on Telegram for years. And so I've been on Telegram. I'm very used to that platform. It's great for sharing information. As a matter of fact, the UK just came out today and said there's nothing we can do about the people sharing vaccine disinformation on Telegram because they don't cooperate with law enforcement. And there's nothing that we can do about it.
Right. So,
and it's true. And everybody's like, oh, Telegram's probably comp. No. Nope. Absolutely not. Not in my opinion, anyway. I've done a lot of research into Telegram, and it's one of the best. It's not the same as a social media platform in that it's a messaging app, but we've kind of used it to our advantage. And I tweeted about it a couple years ago saying everybody should make a room here because it's a free speech app. And I'm like, it's given me so much more time to work on Uncover DC. Like we're making so many improvements and changes, and I've been like buried in that part of things. Mm. And it's just been, oh gosh, it's just been so freeing.
Yeah.
It really has.
I'm feeling good about a lot of things. I think tonight, I hope it works out well. I think tonight is going to be my first time back on CloudHub.
Oh,
which
good.
which now has a completely independent video platform that is independent from IBM. So now nobody can be deplatformed there. There's, you know, things like pilled.net that I'm on. So I know that if everything, if DLive, Twitch, everything went away. I know that Periscope is going away in March.
Yep.
There's just ways. There's just things we can do. Like you said, it's bothering the hell out of people because the whole Grinch Who Stole Christmas thing, that whole analogy again, where they thought they got the decorations and the roast and the ham and the presents and the Christmas tree and they pulled it all away. And then they stood at the top of the mountain. They wanted to hear us wailing in despair.
And we were going, double, double.
Yeah, we start. Instead, we found some places to go to. And now they're like, oh, I'm going to call up my Amazon friends and shut down their good time. And then, of course, you get around that and we start finding it. You know, necessity is the mother of invention. So we'll find ways to host new websites. People are not going to start accepting this transparent bullshit that they push every day again. We've already seen too much to be unseen. They're not going to start accepting that again because, oh, we can't find where the conservatives are. They're going to go find another place to hang out. Twitter sucks right now. But, you know, I still have several lists that I keep track of. And, you know, while you have it, you just milk it for whatever it's worth. But still, man.
Look, it's great. It's great. And did you see that Latinos for Trump are suing to shut Congress over civil rights violations?
I did see that. And I'm glad because I've been saying this for the longest time. It's sad in a way because, of course, if you're a white person, you just got to do the best you can to take part in what the hell's going on here. You're going to find friends and all that stuff everywhere. But the people who really can make the biggest impacts right now are Black and Hispanic Americans, Black Hispanic conservatives, which is synonymous with Americanism because you're trying to conserve what America was founded on. So if they're doing that, that'd be the greatest way to turn the tide, especially since the Democrats are still doubling down on their old plan of trying to invite all of the third world over here so that they can, through executive fiat, turn them into voters. But if people come on over here and they start getting woken up in some way, oh man, that would be a wonderful turn of events.
Well, they're actually like, it's Blacks for Trump, Latinos for Trump, and Joshua Macias as an individual. I don't know. That's fine. And I read, you know what they use in their lawsuit? The Time Magazine article. It's all throughout their complaint. They're like, look, look at this. They want the election redone. I mean, look, that's probably not going to happen. But they're looking for a new federal election, a permanent injunctive relief that restrains Democrats basically Congress forever from participating in any action relating to the process of electing public officials other than casting their own vote. Permanent injunctive relief forever restraining the defendants from violating plaintiffs' constitutional rights. Why would they need that? That should just be normal. General damages in an amount to be determined at the time of the trial, punitive damages, reasonable attorney's fees, and pre-judgment and post-judgment interest. So there's that. And Steve Bannon is on the cover of the Boston Herald today. Game plan. Bannon lays out strategy for Trump return. Trump to win again in 2024. He'll be 78.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. He's going to be 78 if he tried doing that. But
he's a young 78.
I don't care about any of that stuff. Any of that stuff. All I care about is it going to be worth? Is it? Would it be worth it?
Would it be worth it to vote?
Would it be worth it to vote by then? And it's. I don't know. We got to see. From point A to point B, everything that happens in between is the real mark. Well, because what are you going to say? If the presidential election was tomorrow, I wouldn't even vote.
No, I know. It's God.
I wouldn't vote. I may vote down ballot.
What really, in addition to the Republican Party reforms that we're doing, people need to learn how to get involved at their local voting precincts, too. Like the True the Vote model. Because there's that. And if things keep going this way, though, Frank, did you happen to see President Trump's poor impeachment attorney go nuts on CBS News?
Oh, yeah. And I think he started getting
death threats.
He got his house vandalized and stuff.
Yeah, he's a personal injury attorney from Philadelphia. And he, the poor guy, he's like, I'm not a political guy. I'm just doing my job. And they attacked his house. They vandalized his house. They did all kinds of stuff. And then this bitchy, smarmy CBS News reporter starts asking him. They're talking about how and this is a huge deal, that it's just so normal at this point that we're not freaking out about it more because it doesn't matter. Nothing we say matters. The Democrats fabricated evidence in this. They fabricated evidence in the trial. And she brings up the evidence they fabricated as though it's just no big deal. And he flips out. What are you doing here?
Yeah.
Let's follow up with a point that you're making right now about the House managers, as you say, doctoring evidence. And the argument
of
yours.
They didn't deny it. I put it in front of them three times.
To be clear for our viewers, what you're talking about now is a check mark that's a verification on Twitter that did not exist on that particular tweet. A 2020 that should have actually read 2021. And the selective editing, you say, of the tapes.
What'd you say?
That's incredible. Now, whoever this girl is a complete lightweight. She doesn't have the experience that a stone-faced, bearded corpse like Wolf Blitzer has to just stand there blinking the entire time. She's still on the giggly, passive-aggressive nonsense kind phase. That's her phase in her stupid development here, but. The fact that just for everybody at home who we know has not been watching all this stuff, but relies on us to let them know what's going on. To minimize this in any way, shape, or form, why the hell, if this is admissible evidence, why, if this is at all needed to prove a point, is verification being doctored? Why are dates being changed? Nothing about editing any part of evidence to make it seem like it's something.
It's what Kleinsmith did.
I don't know. Try to seem more
like
timely.
Trivial? Well, I don't know what they were trying to do, but she's trying to make it seem trivial. And her last point, and doctoring some video. Like, that's the way she says it. I'm like, here.
That's not enough for you? That's not enough for you?
I am not a juror in this trial. What I'm trying to be clear for our viewers
I'm not a juror in this trial. I am just here for – I'm a shepherd for the viewers. I'm just a shepherd. I'm just a lowly shepherd. Weird.
She is weird. And she's laughing. And she's like, with all due respect.
I know. She's completely out of her depth.
Ugh. And she's sitting with some Grammy behind her or something. I don't even know what's going on in her book on her bookshelf. Art of something or other. Who knows? Here.
Come on now. You know what you're doing here. It's not really that bad. you smarmy. Oh God, I hate it. Like I said, she's a lightweight. She really is horrible.
She's just her, and she's so,
I have not said it is okay.
Ma'am, your question is
I want to be clear for our viewers about what exactly you're saying when you say doctored evidence.
The media has to start telling the right story in this country. The media is trying to divide this country. You are bloodthirsty for ratings. And as such, you're asking questions now that are already set up with a fact pattern. I can't believe you would ask me a question indicating that it's all right just to doctor a little bit of evidence. There's more stuff that we uncovered that they doctored, to be frank with you. And perhaps that will come out one day. But we won this case, and I'm not a sore loser, but what happened, or a sore winner, I should say, but what should happen is somebody should look at the conduct of these house managers. It's unconscionable. Aside from all of the due process violations that my client had, and the media should be looking at in a square, straight way. A straight way. When I watch the news, I watch one station and it's raining. I watch another station at the same time and it's sunny. Your coverage is so slanted, it's got to stop. You guys have to stop and start reporting more like PBS does rather than a TV news show that doesn't have any journalistic integrity at all. What I'm telling you is that they doctored evidence. And I believe your question says, well, it's only a Twitter check and changing a year of a date here. They switched the date of a Twitter a year to try to connect it to this case. That's not a small thing, ma'am. The other thing they did is they put a check mark on something to make it look like it was a validated account when it wasn't. And when they were caught, they didn't say anything about it. They didn't even try to come up with an excuse about it. And that's not the way our prosecutors or our government officials should be conducting themselves. And the media shouldn't be letting them get away with it either. I'm tired of the biased media on both sides, left and right. What this country wants, what this country needs, is this country to come together, to take the left and the right and find a middle ground and start responsibly being our public officials, our elected officials. And the new and the one of the reasons why they do it is because of the media, because the media wants to tell their narrative rather than just telling it like it is. And frankly, I'm tired of it. I'm not a media. I'm not in front of your cameras all the time, but what I've been subjected to this last week.
I understand. I understand, and I've given you the opportunity.
You don't want to hear the truth. Yeah.
Okay. I've given you the opportunity. I will remind you that what I said was that for our viewers who have not been following all of the hours of this trial, to be clear about what you are speaking about.
Not a trial. Not a trial.
Wasn't a trial. Idiot.
People have been following me out. We have been, though. We are the shepherds, the good shepherds. Need to let people know. So that when they're standing online at Starbucks, they can tell people, oh, it was a check mark. Come on now. Come on. He incited an insurrection.
The tweet thing is a big deal. And it reminds me of this. It reminds me of this.
Also interesting is, remember, it's illegal to possess these stolen documents. It's different for the media. So everything you learn about this, you're learning from us.
The WikiLeaks.
Thank God for them.
Yeah, can you imagine how different this country would be right now if it weren't for those WikiLeaks drops in 2015 and 16? Different would things be?
Yeah, how different would things be?
This show, there's going to be so much editing time after we. I don't know what's wrong with us. With today is just, it's just. Oh gosh, I'm not on my game today, Frank. I'm just going to be honest. You know what I'm doing tomorrow night, though?
What?
I get to go for a sleep study.
Oh, are they going to watch you sleep?
Yes.
What, do you have apnea or something like that?
I think so. Yeah. Because, like, for, like, the past gosh knows however long, I, like, wake up in the middle of the night, like, gasping for air. And, like, Will has to always, like, poke me and wake me up because I'm not breathing.
Yeah, that sounds like apnea.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and see if I have sleep apnea, because if I do, it really would explain a lot of other things that are going on. So I'm excited
like
for
it. Like your exhaustion?
Yes. Like my ever, but you know, somebody got my kids Apple Watches for Christmas as like a nice little gift for them. And my son doesn't have a phone, so he kind of just like re-gifted it to me. So what I've been using it for is at nighttime, because it checks your I don't have it connected to anything but a special app that I bought for sleep. And it checks your blood oxygen level and your pulse throughout the night and stuff, and then tells and I'm just saying, I can't wait to go in and see what goes on while I'm asleep. If I can even sleep with all that stuff connected to me.
That stuff would make me nervous.
It's all wires but and stuff.
That would make me nervous. Although if I was going through what you were going through, I'd just do it. Absolutely.
Well,
but
then if you have it, Frank, right? You got to wear this machine, the CPAP machine. I'm sure a gazillion people out there know what I'm talking about. And I'm like researching all these masks and which ones are the best, and they're like the ones that go up your nose. And what it does is basically push pressure into your nose to keep your throat open when you're sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
So they figure out what pressure is the best for you, and they like jack up your machine to that pressure. And I'm looking at some of these things, and I'm like, how do you sleep with air blowing into you all night long? That's got to be horrible.
Yeah, my stepfather used to do that, and I don't know. I think the machines have gotten a little bit less bulky these days, but I guess it's almost like you get used to it, like you get used to scuba diving.
I guess. I guess. I mean.
But I don't know how my old question is when you finally fall asleep, I guess there's some kind of an involuntary your breathing becomes involuntary when you sleep and you're unconscious. But how does that sync up with the rhythmic, unless the machine responds to your own natural rhythm?
No, it's just constantly pressing this air into your system.
Okay.
It's constant. It's always doing it. So that when you, and they figure out what pressure the air needs to be forced out at to be able to keep your throat from collapsing or whatever in the back of your throat from collapsing. And that's what causes the breath problem. So like I've been researching all about this. If you're asleep, they put these bands around your chest and your stomach because even though you stop breathing, i.e. air is not making it into your system, your chest and your stomach are still moving. Even though, so that's what causes the air just gets, you know, stuck. It can't travel down because you're asleep and and it causes all kinds of different health issues like sleep apnea does, all kinds of stuff. And I'm just like, when did this happen? But have I always had this? Did it just happen all of a sudden? What? If I even have it, I don't know. I think I do. But
well, whatever it is, hopefully there is some good sleep on the other end of this.
Yeah, that would be great because it explains a lot. It's like, why am I tired? I slept for like 6-7 hours last night. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I don't understand. One last thing that I wanted to talk about today on this shortened show real quick, because I know you got to leave. There was an article that came out about vaccine propaganda, basically.
Uh-huh.
Hold on. And it was written by, oh, goodness, I am just not doing it today. It was written by The Atlantic. And they give four things that we need to do to make it so that everybody takes the vaccine and we can get back to normal. And number four is basically, let's lie to everybody. Here. Four is demand. The last bottleneck is human psychology. And I read the title and I'm like, this can't be good. Whatever's coming after this is not good. Oh, yeah. Through March or April, America's vaccine emergency is mostly about supply. But by June, the U.S. will very likely have hundreds of millions of more shots available from some combination of these vendors. One third of Americans say they probably or definitely won't get a vaccine. And that figure includes 40% or more of non-college educated Americans, i.e. you're stupid because you didn't go to college. That's why you don't want the vaccine. That's why they put them first.
Yeah. If you didn't go to college, how the hell are you ever going to know how to think?
Yeah. Yeah. Republicans are the group of the second group. Black Americans and people under 45, the people that basically get this and it's like a cold. If that number doesn't budge in the next 3 months, The virus variants will likely run rampant in certain pockets of the country where those demographics are overrepresented. And then the media and government should change the way they talk about the vaccines. Most headlines refer to their ability to prevent infection. For example, the Moderna vaccine is 94% effective at preventing COVID-19 illness. But what many people may not realize is that Moderna and Pfizer are reportedly 100% effective at preventing serious illness and death. So instead of telling people the truth about their effectiveness, tell them that they can prevent, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's lie to people instead and change the way we phrase our titles of things so people understand these things better, quote.
Did I ever show you the article? It was written by a supposed medical ethics professor. And they were suggesting that we should even start thinking about they're calling them morality pills. And how do we inoculate people? Do we even start putting chemicals in the water supply to make people more docile and agreeable? Because this resistance to new ideas like vaccines, especially in the age of COVID, is really holding us back from bringing society to a more stable level.
You mean
they're even considering. People are. I mean, they are. You say, oh, it's fringe. Come on, listen. We're living fringe. Everything we're living right now was everything they said we would never get to 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why anybody is counting anything out. They want to put things in the water supply, Tracy.
Like fluoride?
Oh, well, that's another thing that's not fringe anymore. That was like maybe 3 or 4 years ago we found the studies came out that showed definitively, fluoride lowers IQ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's crazy. I've never seen it. Can you send it to me, though? Because I need to.
Hold on a second. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, good. We're you know, before we do anything else wrong today, I'm going to stop. That's it. 50 minutes. We're done. It probably won't be 50 minutes when I'm finished cutting out all the mistakes that I made. You have been listening to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Monday Val and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you Wednesday.
Later.
This is a Landry Football Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
One of the things we talked about in the preview of the game was what the Bucs needed to do to win this. A, Brady was going to have to be the best quarterback on the field that day. Well, Brady performed the best. I'm not saying he was the most physically gifted, and certainly the offensive protection, the offensive line of the Bucs allowed Brady to be great. Whereas the Chiefs' offensive line struggled and Mahomes wasn't his great self. And perhaps this is a lesson to everyone that regardless how great you are, if you don't have the help, if you don't have the play around you, it's going to affect you. It's going to affect your greatness and how you're able to perform. And I think that the Bucs did a tremendous job of a couple things. One, their base pressure was outstanding defensively. They did a good job with four-man pressures and some five-man pressures, but then mixing in some blitz pressure with some second-level pressure, some corner cut blitzes that really were a little bit tough for them to figure out. And combining with that, putting Devin White in a looper spiral where he was constantly looping to be able to loop and follow the quarterback, be in a position to say, athletically, it's you and me, my friend, and I'm going with you, and I'll peel off only when the ball's coming out, but I'm going to make sure that I don't let you run wild and get a lot of free yards, because if you cover well and you don't have a guy on the quarterback that's so athletic that can run, and even though he had the bad toe, he's still capable of making plays with his feet. If you don't account for him, you're in trouble. They accounted for him. Accounted for him very well and did a very good job.
The Landry Football Podcast with veteran scout and coach Chris Landry can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.